Morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Welcome back. First day of class for many schools, adding to the list. And I think when we get to Tuesday of next week after the Labor Day holiday, all schools will be back in session. And you know what happens when you get the kids together in a classroom? It's like a Petri dish. You know,
they just, so true.
And they bring home.
Spoken like a parent who's had a few at school.
So the first day of school for Moon Area, Neshanic, Riverside, Yauk, Duquesne City. Welcome back, and we're here for you. And we're going to start there in the classroom, mixing it up with Dr. Kevin Wong, who is a family physician who we have known for many years in the Gannett area and all over, really. And at one point was the head of the association in the state of Pennsylvania. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This is typical, right? When all the kids start mixing it up in the next few weeks, then they bring it home. And a lot of people have, at very least, some sniffles here and there.
Oh, I think you already heard this morning there's been outbreaks of hand, foot, and mouth disease in the region. So that's one of the viral illnesses that you'll see around the school-age kids, and obviously can spread it very quickly before they know they're sick.
What exactly is hand, foot, and mouth disease, Doc?
It's a viral illness, and it's spread by kids coughing or getting those little viruses out there, and you pick it up in their hands, they get it in their mouth, and they eventually get a typical viral illness, but they may have a rash on the sole of their foot, palm, or blisters around the mouth. So that's jokingly why they used to call it hoof and mouth disease, but it's hand, foot, mouth disease, and self-limiting, but again can spread through close contact, which would be school buses and school children getting back to school right now. So again, common sense, watching it, keeping kids away when they can't wash their hands as well as they should. They should stay away from other people, that's all.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, Dr. Wong, is there a treatment or is this something that you have to let it run its course?
It has to run its course. It's symptomatic treatment, usually with Tylenol, ibuprofen, and usually it's gone within a week or 10 days. But again, it's going to spread through wildfire if you haven't had any immunity to it. That's all.
Doc, as a family physician, you will start to see, and probably I've already heard people concerned about the flu season coming and the controversy over whether they get a flu shot or not, or when do we get one, and what about a COVID booster. Kind of walk us through this, what you're hearing and what you recommend.
Well, I think, you know, the government has always talked about annual flu shot, and people think annual means it lasts a year, but it's just that they come up with a formulation as a best guess to cover what they think will happen for the year. And why do we use flu as an example? Flu really affects us. We have somewhere between 200,000 to 700,000 hospitalizations every year, with somewhere between 10,000 to 50,000 deaths a year from flu. But it's not just the flu. It's, if you get the flu and you get sick enough, you may end up with pneumonia or heart attacks, and that's why so many people end up sick, hospitalized, and may die. Obviously, the greatest risks are the elderly or the very young, and that's why they made a very simple recommendation that anyone above 6 months of age should get a flu shot. Yes, they are not 100% effective, and that's what people have to understand. Just like any immunization, they vary from year to year, but on average, depending on the age range, it's anywhere from about 30% effective to about 55% effective. But they do help cut down severity, possibly the extent of disease, and therefore cuts down how much you might spread it to somebody else. Timing of flu shots is important because I said, even though they consider annual flu shot, they really only last a good 6 months. And that's why I personally get upset when I see them push so early, like August, because a lot of the chains get their stores early and they want to use them as fast as possible. But realistically, people in this area should not get their flu shot until just before the peak of when people are mingling, which is the holidays, because the flu shot will last only 6 months. And our peak of flu in this area is actually February, March. Yes, you may see it start early, such as when people mingling at Thanksgiving. But again, it will not peak in this area usually typically till February, March. So if you get it too early, it's going to be gone by then. The other thing that's key about flu shot is it takes about 3 weeks before they're effective. So you can't just get it the week before Thanksgiving and hope you'll be protected. That's why my suggestion is usually end of October, early November, unless we hear that we are really getting an early flu season.
Dr. Wong, I'm curious about the effectiveness. You said around as much as 50%, sometimes around 30% effective with this. Is that because they're trying to predict which strain of the flu will be circulating most?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be very easy to predict the flu strains because years ago, flu only spread continent to continent slowly, mainly by boat travel. Now with jet travel, people can be in Europe yesterday, can be in Maine, part of America today, and they could be in Hawaii tomorrow or Southeast Asia next day because of business travel and flight routes. So you can literally be around the world spreading what you picked up in a disease halfway around, which never happened before.
That said, curious, what about COVID? Are you seeing COVID cases? And what's the new protocol when you know you've got it or somebody has it?
Well, we are still seeing COVID. I mean, in the nursing home population where I treat, I definitely have seen it flaring up, which means it's being brought into those people by the workers or family members who are young and in the community. We've not seen quite as much in the office setting right now. But again, we're still seeing it come into the nursing home on a pretty regular basis over the past few weeks. So new COVID shots may be out, but we're seeing such a dichotomy of who wants to get it, who doesn't. And realistically, those at greatest risk probably should get it, but it's going to be individual to make that decision. And this is the biggest thing, that people should respect people's choices to either get immunizations or not get immunizations, because they don't know what someone is going through. They don't know if they have a family member who's at great risk. They don't know if they're around a parent or grandparent that they have to care for, so they have to be very protective of that bubble. They don't know if that person may have a child that's had cancer or is at great risk because they're going through chemotherapy. So respect people's decisions about immunizations, but more importantly, respect people's personal space. If you know you're not feeling well, you shouldn't be coming to work and being in close contact with people. You should be making sure you are washing hands, potentially using face masks. I know people don't like that, but you know, people need to respect each other's circumstances and their personal space, especially if they're not immunized.
Dr. Kevin Wong, always appreciate your contributions. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. So there you go, Paul. There's a lot to digest, yeah, though, but when the kids go back to school, this all kind of kicks in here over the next few weeks.
Right. The vaccines from A to Z.
For the Drive at 5, the stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift engaged. And Paul, you said it best. This is like America's royal wedding, whatever it is. They haven't set a date or a location yet.
There are pseudo royal couple.
But listen to the impact that they have had just, for instance, in Taylor Swift's dress. She wore a black and white Ralph Lauren striped dress in the proposal pictures that were released. It sold out almost instantaneously.
My goodness.
You know why? I feel like her fans are literally, they really want this for her. Every album is about heartbreak to a degree or betrayal. And I've seen pictures side by side of her by herself in a garden that looked the same. And now she's in the same garden with him. The fans really want this for her.
And how about the ring? It's estimated the Old Mine Brilliant Cut Diamond is around 9 carats and cost approximately $1 million.
You know, I'm not trying to poo-poo this marriage. Don't get me wrong. I hope they're a very happy couple. But I also see the marketing angle here.
Oh, my gosh.
It's brilliant marketing. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Marty Griffin shared a picture of Travis and his brother, who played for the Eagles. You know, he retired.
Yeah, his brother's a character,
they
too.
They have a podcast. Well, they have a picture of the two of them in their uniforms at Cincinnati. And they look just like two guys. You know, there's just, you never can judge a book by its cover.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah.
And look at those two and the power that their podcast has when they have, you know, Taylor Swift on and talk about stuff. And Travis Kelce's killing it too. And oh, by the way, he's still playing football for the Kansas City Chiefs. Cracker Barrel. Well, they've had it. They've heard you. Ticked off a lot of their customers. Lost in stock about $150 million almost overnight because they changed their logo and they took off Uncle, what's his name?
Uncle Herschel. It's actually, it's more than, Larry, it's more than the logo. I mean, there's a rebranding coming to the stores.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to radically redesign the interior of the stores unless they're planning on stopping that. So that's another thing that people weren't so hip to.
Well, they said, we hear you. They quit.
So you know, I'll tell you how this, you know, how far this got into the radar. President Trump weighed in, calling on Cracker Barrel to go back to the old logo and then congratulating them when they did.
Well, I feel like, of course, there's undertones and different things, but it's almost, if you're going to change the logo, I almost feel like change the food. Like the logo, the inside, the food, it all gives a Southern feel. And I think they're so deep in. I hate that the reaction was what it was, but they're so deep in. They just had to stick with it, I guess.
Yeah, I first started eating at Cracker Barrel in the South. Aaron, you're right. It's very Southern.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Southern country cooking. That's what people have, you know, have gravitated toward and become very loyal to that in great numbers.
Gravy on grits, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you got it. And so, you know, they're not into it. There's been menu changes, and there have been some other things that people don't care for as much. There's also been some comments about the change in food quality.
Well, I want to dispel the rumors because it was out there that Waffle House was going to merge with Cracker Barrel and be called Crack House. And they had
oh, my. Whoa.
Someone said, talk about way to get smothered and covered,
yeah.
Right?
maybe that isn't a good idea either.
You know, we've only got one that's close by, I think, down in Washington, down by the racetrack.
There's one out in Robinson.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
A Waffle House.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Cracker Barrel. There are a bunch of those.
Isn't there a Waffle House? Oh, no. Waffle and Caffeinated is downtown.
They've got the Waffle House itself. Again, that's another Southern thing.
Well, all your financial troubles may end tonight.
Oh, really?
Powerball is up to $815 million, seventh highest jackpot in history. But did you know that there are five states that don't sell Powerball tickets? Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, Nevada, and Utah don't have state lotteries, citing religious reasons. However, you are allowed to go out of state to buy a Powerball ticket. You do not have to be a resident to win.
Well, now, back up a minute. Did you just say that Nevada doesn't sell lottery tickets?
Isn't that odd?
Wow.
That has Reno and Las Vegas.
Every form of gambling you can name.
Legalized prostitution. Everything you can imagine. All the vices are legal there, but you can't buy a lottery ticket. Is that crazy?
Wow.
$850 million. However, like Mega Millions didn't hit last night, so tomorrow night, that's $277 million.
Yeah, what's the cash value on the big 850?
Well, the 277 is 124. If you just take the money, it's almost 400,000.
For the other one?
400 million.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know,
I don't know. Is it worth buying a ticket to dream? This is the Big K Morning Show. Coming up in our next hour, a visit with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. We'll talk, among other things, Labor Day and the need for labor here with all the infrastructure that's in the build-outs that will be going on in the region and the state. The Pittsburgh Steelers have their 53-man roster. Yesterday was deadline day in the NFL for teams to make the cuts. And from the Post-Gazette, Brian Bacco joins us. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Aaron Rodgers and T.J. Watt made the team. So
thank God.
They were pretty pumped when they went to bed last night.
Yeah, even though either one of them took a snap in the preseason. I guess that's the new world we live in, though, right?
Yeah, I think that's always an interesting debate, and I wrote about that for the Sunday paper last week because, you know, every coach you talk to, every player you talk to, you could get a different answer, and, you know, I think Green Bay coach Matt LaFleur may have said it best a few years ago, which I was researching, because Aaron Rodgers used to always play in the preseason for the Pack when Greenfield native Mike McCarthy was the coach. And then when LaFleur came in, younger guy, maybe some more progressive thoughts, suddenly Aaron didn't have to play in the preseason anymore. And LaFleur said, it's really just a gut feeling every year. If you feel like your team is ready and you don't need to risk the injury of putting them out there in games that don't matter. And this is a little bit of a shift for Mike Tomlin in that he didn't play his starting quarterback at all, didn't play his number one wide receiver at all. We'll see if it works out for them come week one.
All right, let's go over some of the highlights, some of the surprises. One, maybe quarterbacks. They kept four, including Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson played himself on the squad, at least for now. It's unusual to have four, right, Brian?
It is, and I think this is only temporary. It's a little bit like a couple years ago when they kept two punters. We knew the Steelers weren't going to trade punt for punt in the regular season to try to revolutionize modern football special teams, but they hung on to one for a little in case a team would come around to trade for him. They did not, so that was a very short-term way to construct the roster, and I think that's going to be the same thing here, whether that's Will Howard practicing a little bit and then going on injured reserve because of that unfortunate timing of a broken finger early in August, or if a team does still bite on Skylar Thompson. I can't imagine they would trade Mason Rudolph, Larry, but I wonder how Mason's feeling about his standing on the team, the fact that they did even want to jump through some of these hoops and do roster gymnastics to keep around a guy like Thompson, who had such a nice preseason, which probably speaks well of his fit in Arthur Smith's offense, but also the development that he got from quarterbacks coach Tom Art.
We're with Brian Bacco on the Post-Gazette. You mentioned two punters. There was a battle this year, too, but Corliss Waitman wins over Cam Johnston because he got injured last year, so Waitman came in. I guess that's an important special teams. Chris Boswell, is he done chatting with the team? They got this thing settled?
I don't know. That might be one of those ones that we never really know because Chris Boswell, he talks to the media right around about as often as a solar eclipse. So, you know, you wear your special glasses into the locker room, I guess, on the day that that's happening. But I don't know if we'll ever get much clarity on what happened there. Maybe his agent was just fishing. Maybe he was just casting a line out on the back of Cam Hayward and said, hey, maybe we can get taken care of too. Perhaps the Steelers just said, no, just give us one more really good season kicking the ball like you did a year ago, and then we will make you a very rich kicker again. But yeah, at least for now, all is quiet on the contract fronts with both him and Cam Hayward.
Just as a sidebar, Pitt's Ben Sauls, who they brought into camp, did a great job the other night last Thursday. So I expect him to show up somewhere in the league at some point. Do you?
Yeah. Whether it's a team that has a kicker opening right now, of which there are a couple due to injury and ineffectiveness in the preseason, or a team whose kicker is on shaky ground might be forward thinking enough to use one of their 16 practice squad spots on Ben Sauls with what he did in the preseason. So he always knew the situation going in. He wasn't going to unseat Chris Boswell. He was wearing a Steelers jersey, trying to kick his way out of it into another jersey, and he may have done that in that final preseason game.
Christian Kuntz, the Duquesne and Char Valley long snapper, even though he got a sternum injury, I'm glad to see he made the squad. Just personally, I think he's a great young man, and I know he works hard at his craft, so he must be well enough for them to do that. And let's talk about running backs. No Najee Harris, obviously. Jaylen Warren, Caleb Johnson, a rookie, and Kenneth Gainwell, the three backs. What do you think?
Probably good news for the rookie that they didn't bother keeping a fourth. They had Trey Sermon, who was an NFL veteran and was really the fourth guy up in preseason, and he ran pretty well, scored some touchdowns. You could tell he looked the part, having all that experience under his belt, but he was one of the final cuts too. That kind of tells me that, yeah, Caleb Johnson showed them what they wanted to see in these games. Yeah, he didn't light it up, and I think he left some fans a little disappointed, but frankly, I think some of that is because of the expectations and the hype that ends up getting heaped on some of these guys. It's a double-edged sword. When an intriguing player is drafted, there's so much excitement, but then again, there's so much buzz that goes with it. And if you aren't ripping off 40-yard touchdown runs right away, people get a little frustrated. And we know that society is impatient. I think that extends to rookies in the NFL preseason too, but I think Caleb Johnson will be just fine.
And happy, I don't know why, Connor Hayward seems like a complete athlete and football player. I know he's a special team specialist, but they list him as tight end / fullback, and there's only one of those, but three tight ends, and we expected at least two of those names to be there.
Yeah, I haven't really seen him take to the fullback role the way I think the Steelers thought he could when they drafted Cam's youngest brother out of Michigan State a few years ago, but he continues to do all the little things right. He's gotten on Aaron Rodgers' good side since he's been here. Rodgers actually singled him out one day before practice meeting with us in Latrobe, and that's always a good thing with any quarterback, but especially someone like that who is so much of his game relies on the chemistry and the rapport and the timing with his pass catchers. And I don't think Connor Hayward's suddenly going to play a huge role in the offense. His role actually diminished when Arthur Smith came in as the play caller a year ago. But all of that is, you know, kind of over here on one side. In the other bucket, he does do everything they ask of him on special teams. And it's not just running down and making tackles. It's where you line up when you're trying to block a punt and, you know, blocking on kick returns. I mean, he is a valued member of that unit, and anything he can provide on offense will be a bonus.
All right, finally, Brian, just overall defense, any surprises?
Well, Beanie Bishop, who was second on the team in interceptions last year with four and was a really nice story this time last year as an undrafted rookie out of West Virginia, it just goes to show NFL stands for not for long because the right back on the bubble again this year, and he's not on the right side of it when the cuts came down. He was waived yesterday. You know, it was tough for him as a true inside cornerback once the team went out and acquired not just Jalen Ramsey, but Brandon Echols. Then they drafted one in the seventh round, Dante Kent, out of Harrisburg by way of Central Michigan. So the numbers added up on Beanie Bishop, who was kind of a fan favorite last year as a rookie. Maybe he'll find his way back here on the practice squad, but I think that may be the biggest name for the casual Steelers fan who did not make the club yesterday.
Read all about it in the Post-Gazette with Brian Batko. Brian, thanks for the time and sneaking this in before your kids get up.
But we're halfway there. See you later.
You got it.
Red light cameras are coming to Pittsburgh's most dangerous intersections, and there will be tickets for drivers who run red lights.
And you see it far too often. This law, while will be unpopular with some, will save lives and injuries.
It's going to cost about $15 million to set it up over the next few years. After strong pushback, Cracker Barrel is ditching its new logo, saying in a statement,
"We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old timer will remain."
So there you go. The 1 week controversy and $150 million stock dip.
Oh, that's not the half of it. Guess how much they were going to spend on the rebrand?
How much?
$700 million.
Well, then never mind.
Mm-hmm. And the Bucks have won five of the past six games.
The Pirates built a huge lead for Mitch Keller, and he would keep it in a quality start. And earning the victory did Keller and the Pirates in an 8-3 win on Tuesday night at Busch Stadium.
Pirates broadcaster Joe Block, yeah, it was a good night for the Bucks, and their pitching continues to be